Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, and this is probably the first time we've done this, today we offer this Mass in honor of St. John Paul. The opening prayer today, read this. When you get by yourself, read this. O God, who are rich in mercy, and who willed that St. John Paul II should preside as Pope over your universal Church, grant, we pray, that instructed by his teaching, we may open our hearts to the saving grace of Christ, the sole Redeemer of mankind. Go online, look up his teachings, read and reread. I had the privilege of meeting him, speaking to him, and I would say that he just was like us. You know, there was no halo over his head. But he was man who had put God first in his life, like I said yesterday. And you can't say to me, say you're 70 or something, and you say, oh, it's too late for me. It's never, never too late. Turn him, put him first in your life. You say, oh, yes, I remember God. That's not what I'm saying. Is God first in your life? Lord, what do you want of me this day? If you don't hear anything, then go and do what you think you should. That's fine. But someday, when he sees you, he will ask of something of you. And you want to always be prepared to change your plans. Because when God says something, you really need to do that. But it's wonderful. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to live. And I don't mean a voice is going to come down from heaven to you. It can be an idea you get. Can be a memory you have, can be something you see or something you read that prompts you to say, I should do that. I should be doing that. Not, oh, I'd like to do that. That's not the point. The point is, what does God ask of you? You will like it in the process, but the point is, what does God ask? And if you don't get anything, then do what you think is best, but give him the opportunity every day to lead you and to guide you. John Paul devoted himself to interpreting the Second Vatican Council and preparing the Church for the new millennium. And you know, he was the attempt to assassinate him in 1981, and he offered his attacker forgiveness. He went to the prison and met with him. Then he suffered a slow decline from Parkinson's disease on the world stage. He wouldn't move away. He was there. In whatever form he was in, he was there. And despite his frail frame and his slurred speech, he continued to travel and teach. He died April 2, 2005, on the vigil of a feast that he founded, the Feast of Divine Mercy. He died on the vigil of that feast. What a blessing, what a sign from God. But I remember even he had the same questions that we do. He was walking ahead of me one day with a crutch, and then he was walking down a flight of stairs with a crutch. I was behind him, and he turned around, and he held up his cane, and he said, why this? Because there's so much to be done, you know. And why wouldn't God make me strong to do this? God had a role for him right till the moment of his last breath. God had a role for him, but he had to do what God wanted him to do, not what he wanted to do. Because I know he had desires to visit so many people in so many different countries. I know he had a desire to bring the whole flock in more closely. And I pray to him every day to help us, to direct us, because he blessed our hearts so much and our lives. And the reading from Paul to the Romans in today's Mass, chapter 5, verses 12 and 15, 17, 19, and 20 and 21. So we got a range here. Brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death, and thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sin. If by that one person's transgression the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? For if by the transgression of one death came to reign through that one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of justification come to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ? In conclusion, just as through one transgression condemnation came upon all, through one righteous act acquittal and life came to all. One good thing, turning from yourself, reaching out to another, doing something that God is asking you to do, whatever it is, and you've kind of put it aside, but do what God asks you to do and see how he leads you. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. Where sin increased, grace overflowed all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through justification for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was part of a group with Renewal Ministries that was in Rome, and we had some time with the Pope. And really, he spent time with us. And I was able to talk to him, and other people were able to talk to him. And many of the men in our group were bringing pictures of their families and asking him to give them their blessing through the picture. He was writing notes on the back of some of the pictures for them. He took all the time because he was a man who said, as Psalm 40 says, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." And when that was his life's goal, to do God's will, God blessed him so much, so much. Today is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, 35 to 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or the third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." And that's the call on our lives. We know not the day nor the hour. We don't, brothers and sisters. And so we want to live life as much in the will of God. When we're angry with somebody, when we're upset, when we're very disappointed in someone, when we're selfish, when we're just too hungry and taking too much food, just stop right where you are there and say, "Lord, light my lamp that I might follow you. Help me to walk in your path. Help me to turn away, for my temper could get hold of me, or my ability to be very slow could get hold of me, or too fast, or whatever it might be, or the swear words come out of my mouth more easily than anything else." Just stop. Just stop right there. Say, "Lord, please forgive me, and please lead me." And I can guarantee you that he will do so. St. John Paul wrote, of course, a great deal. But one of the things he wrote I want to share with you. Let's be one of those servants ready and waiting, and listen to this. "Do not be content with anything less than the highest ideals." And you say, "Oh, I can't do that." You can't alone. You can't. But ask God to help you. Individually, step by step, ask him to help you, and he will. "Do not let yourselves be dispirited by those who are disillusioned with life and have grown deaf to the deepest and most authentic desires of their heart. You are right to be disappointed with hollow entertainment and passing fads, and with aiming at too little in life. If you have an ardent desire for the Lord, you will steer clear of the mediocrity and conformism so widespread in our society." That's John Paul. "You are the light of the world. For those who first heard Jesus, as for us, the symbol of light evokes the desire for truth and the thirst for the fullness of knowledge, which are imprinted deep within every human being. When the light fades or vanishes altogether, we no longer see things as they really are. In the heart of the night, we can feel frightened and insecure, and we impatiently await the coming of the light of dawn. It is up to you. It's up to you and to me to be the watchman of the morning who announced the coming of the sun who is the risen Christ. That's your call. That's my call. It's our call together. But it means, Lord, help me to put you first. Help me to put you first, not the first thought that comes to you during the day that really does make you very, should I say, discouraged, or don't give in to that. Acknowledge, oh, this is very hard, and then say, Lord, you lead me. Lord, show me. Help me. I always do that. And then if I don't hear anything, I do what I think I should do. But sometimes somebody will come up to me right then and say something, and I know what I should do. Might not be what I want to do, but it's what I should do. Just take, it could be 1 minute, it could be 5 minutes, but take that time to just say, Lord, here I am, I'm your servant, I'm your son, I'm your daughter, lead me today, help me. And then when you do, go right ahead and do what you were planning on doing, but offer it to God first, and then watch throughout the day what happens. The light which Jesus speaks of in the gospel is the light of faith. This is John Paul. God's free gift which enlightens the heart and clarifies the mind. It is the God who said, let light shine out of our darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Christ. That is why the words of Jesus explaining his identity and his mission are so important. Quote, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Our personal encounter with Christ bathes life in a new light, sets us on the right path, and sends us out to be his witnesses. And I know even through the day I can get distracted and say, oh, I wish I had this, I want to do this. I can get into that. But for a moment then I just turn back and say, Lord, help me here. Sometimes it's just quiet, but I have time to get my thoughts back to what they should be. Sometimes I get an answer. Sometimes I sense something, or someone comes in and tells me that somebody would like me to do something. It's not what I want to be doing, but I hear it, and I know it's important. And I put aside what I'm doing for 5 minutes or 10 minutes to help someone else. That's God's blessed, blessed gift. Let the gospel be the measure and the guide. That's John Paul. Let the gospel be the measure and guide of life's decisions and plans. Then you will be missionaries in all that you do and say, and wherever you work and live, you will be signs of God's love, credible witnesses to the loving presence of Jesus Christ, he says. And his last sentence in this writing is, never forget, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a bushel. Don't hide your faith. We can many times be in difficult situations. We've got to be wise. We've got to be prudent. You don't have to be preaching the gospel. It's just living the gospel so that someone says to you, how can you do that so peacefully? And you're able to give the answer. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.